For our scripture reading, I would like to draw your attention to Hebrews chapter 11. We read a few verses there, and then we read the Old Testament account in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 6. Hebrews 11, verse 29 through 31. By faith, they, that is the Israelites, passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians attempted to do so were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. The second scripture reading is Joshua chapter 6. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty man of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. When the wall of the city will fall, then the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, every man straight before him." And then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord." So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. And the armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth, until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord. Then 7 priests bearing 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpet. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only they marched around the city 7 times. And the 7th time it happened when the priests blew the trumpets that Joshua said to the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who are in it. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we send. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things, and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and women, young and old, oxen, sheep, and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab, the harlot, her father's household and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundation with its firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. Thus far, God's precious word to us. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, God delivers in a mighty way. Hebrews 11 is full of God's amazing grace and deliverance. And again, that whole chapter is full, and with that one refrain, by faith. Hebrews 11 speaks about that glorious exodus. The Red Sea parted. How? By God's miraculous grace. We read those verses together. Stand still, the Lord said, and see the salvation of our God. He will fight. Those are the verses just before our text. That glorious exodus where God showed his glory and deliverance. And then these verses that are our text this afternoon, verses 30 and 31. They come on the heels of that, but there's a gap of 40 years between those verses and the verses here in this text. The author of the Hebrews thought it good to skip a period of 40 years. Why? Well, 40 years were the time that they were in the wilderness. And it is a time that, as you read the scriptures, often was characterized, not for all people, a time which was characterized by unbelief and murmuring and immorality. And as we come to our text in a moment, there is this sobering note for a moment here. We don't want to skip over this gap for a moment. There's a gap that comes before our text of 40 years, much sin and little faith. Maybe there's someone who looks back on his life. Maybe there's someone who can say, well, that's my life, actually. I have lived in sin. Sobering note, then there is the gospel that is going to come to us from the verses that is before us, where it is all about faith again. glorious faith. Faith worked by the power of God's Holy Spirit. Faith that shows God's glory in delivering his people. So our text, with the Lord's help, we are going to consider Hebrews 11, verse 30 and 31. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Faith, deliverance. And we are going to look, children, first outside of the walls. What is happening there? And then we are going to have a look inside the walls. Verse 30 is outside, and verse 31 is inside those walls of Jericho. Now, children, I think you might know this story very well. But if you would come with the people of Israel and that you would march toward Jericho, toward the promised land that God has promised, and God had said about this promised land that now the Canaanites are still there, but the iniquity of those people is filled up. If you would come to that city, Jericho, which was the entrance way into the promised land, you would be amazed about this city in several ways, because this was a wonderful city with palm trees, and it was a pleasant one to live in, but it was a godless city, and it was a wealthy city, and it was an old city, an ancient city. It had been there for a long time. But what stood out most, if you came close to that city, was those towering walls, those thick walls that seemed impenetrable, strong walls. The text even says that it is walls, plural. It was just not just one wall, but there were several walls. Two, actually. Archaeology shows us that there was an outer wall, and then there was an inner wall. And it was sloped up to the center of the city. It was on a hill. So when you stood on those walls that were about 8 meters high, you could watch the valley, and you would say, well, if an enemy comes, we can see them come, and we have those beautiful high walls, and we will be nice and safe. And so, as Israel comes toward these walls, imagine for a moment. They are thinking this is going to be a long battle, a hard battle, an impossible battle. It must have struck those Israelites. And then our text shows something. How are these city walls going to come down? Our text shows how. Well, simple, by faith. And we would say, well, that doesn't make sense, does it? By faith? That's a simplistic answer. But no, not if you know the God who empowers faith. Not if you know the God of victory. Now, the first word that strikes us here when we think about these walls is defense. These walls speak to us this afternoon of what's happening in the world all around us, is it not? People are trying to defend themselves. What way? Well, don't talk about your God with me, and don't criticize me. Don't talk about sin. We have these walls of idol worshippers, just as Jericho. They don't want to hear about God, generally speaking. How are those walls in the hearts of people outside the church? How are they coming down? We wonder. Well, the answer in our text is by faith. But there are different walls. If you are here and the Lord has brought you gently to himself, maybe as in young age, I think everyone still knows that there are walls that can come up into our hearts that need to come down. We put walls in front of the one who has saved us and needs to continue to save us. And by nature, we have this wall that is impenetrable and that is unwilling to surrender to the power of God in our hearts. Is it not? We resist the work of God in our hearts. Or can you say this afternoon, with joy in your heart, the Lord has broken that resistance? That's glorious. Because then you know something of the glorious and victorious power of Jesus Christ. You've known it, you've tasted it, and you rejoice in it. He comes to break down those walls of self-reliance, of confidence in your pleasures and in your enjoyments and in the things of this world and in your own ideas. Because by nature we all have these, as Paul says in Corinthians, high and lofty thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So if our hearts is opened by the grace of God for the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that's glorious. That's His work. But then still, you look around and maybe you have people you know and they've gone away from the service of the Lord. Or maybe you are speaking to someone who doesn't know the gospel and you have still those walls that you're looking at. And you say, how are these walls going to come down? Well, our text says it, by faith. You're scaling those walls that are put up there, that look far bigger than we can ever break down. So it is with the gospel. It is by faith that God comes and destroys the walls that we put up in our hearts to keep God out. Now, children, just think with me for a moment. Because we have a tendency to say, no, it's not by faith. Or we have a tendency to say, well, maybe some other way. Not the simplicity of the gospel. Not the simplicity of the means of grace, preaching and the sacraments and evangelism and prayer and fellowship. Those simple means that God has appointed. No, generally, maybe sometimes we think about, well, let's do a little different. That would be same as saying, well, we are going to go up to Jericho, and what we are going to do, we are going to sneak in, we are going to, through a tunnel, we make a tunnel, and then suddenly we are there. We put in some gospel here and there, and we make it fun, and we make it attractive, and, or no, you know, I can do it. We have some force in ourselves. Let's do our battering ram. Let's go up there to Jericho. Or what about, how about surprising them with something? We take a slingshot and we fire some firebrands into Jericho. Is that going to do it? Or our programs? The things we do? Or is it the simple gospel, the power of God unto salvation? Because think about it. It's not holding tightly to our traditions. Holding tightly to the word of God is much better, and to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not like, oh, we need to change this and this and this, and that's going to win the world for Jesus Christ. No. It is in the power of the gospel, of which Paul said so clearly, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God unto salvation. Simple trust in God's word. By faith these walls came down, not by our own inventions, not by our own strength. So it is still. God works by the simple means of grace that He appoints through His word. So often, the Old Testament, when we read the Psalms, children, what does it say? Don't trust in horses. Well, chariots, you know, those seemed like be the army weapons of those days. Those seemed to be far stronger. All the world had those weapons. The whole world around them. But God says, no. Don't trust in an arm of flesh. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your weapons. Don't trust in circumstances. Don't trust in all these things. Trust in me. I am the living God. Just as he said at the Exodus, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so here as well. How are these strongholds like Jericho going to come down? Now our weapons are spiritual weapons and they are made mighty through the power of God to the pulling down of strongholds, the Bible tells us. And that requires, therefore, obedience, simple obedience to his word and trust that God can do it. And that's the second word here. We saw these defenses for a moment. We looked at that wall. And how were these Israelites going to come close to this wall? Well, second word is duty. God comes with a command. In Joshua 6, he says, you need to encircle this city. And you need to go there with the priests bearing the ark and the priest blowing the trumpet. And you need to go there 7 days in a row. And as you go, let the soldiers go in front. And then the people follow the ark. And unbelief says, well, what is that going to do? How can that be changing those big walls? But faith says we don't trust in ourselves, but we trust in the living God who can do it. But isn't it often how we feel when you try to pray or when you come to worship, preaching, or when you are simply trying to be faithful in reading the scriptures, that it creeps up on you and you say, how can this change a person? How can this change my heart? And nevertheless, God says, these are the means that I have appointed. And it's not through these means I am going to be a little better. No, we trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, and so he works in us obedience to his word. And growing obedience, not that it is immediately perfect. We are not perfect right away. No, we will be perfect only that last day when Jesus comes or we die and we will see him. The second word here, and again that is the same as for the word duty, is discipline. Think about it, children. When they came to the city, what did they have to do? God gave specific instructions to them. They had to be disciplined. They had to do this thing with the trumpets. They had to blow the trumpets, but the rest had to be silent. Why is that? Because with our words, we can sometimes influence each other in a wrong way. Think about if there's one who would be unbelieving, say, well, and he looks at the walls and says, no, this is not going to come down. This is not going to come down, and talks to others, and it would spread just like as 40 years before when these spies went into the land and they said, giants there, walls high, and it's impossible. Hebrews 3 talks about that, how unbelief is infecting to others. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily as it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So we are to discipline ourselves, our tongues, and to speak about the truth and to encourage one another in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust in the means of grace, to trust in that trumpet. What is that trumpet a picture of? It's the trumpet sound of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is it not? And there they go. Soldiers, the ark, the people. And then they have to endure. Endure, another word, to help us. Because it says here, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had compassed about Jericho about 7 days. So, children, do you see them go? One time. Nothing is happening. Two times, three times, four times, 6 days. And then, the seventh day, early up, one time, two times, three times, four times, all the way to seven. And maybe they have walked and they've watched those walls, those huge walls, and maybe they said, and just pointing, look, faith says there is that scarlet cord. Or was there unbelief with some that said after going round around, or maybe just simply the awareness, this is impossible apart from the gaze of God. Without me you can do nothing. That when they had seen and scaled those walls and they said over and over, this message came to them. We're never going to get in there apart from God's power and intervention. What kept them going? What kept them going? It is faith, as our text says. It is faith. What is this faith based on then? It's based on the promises of God. God had appeared in glory just a few days before. Remember, children, when Joshua was walking out there and after they had sent the spies, and then there is suddenly this mysterious man, the angel of the Lord, and he comes with a flaming sword and he speaks to Joshua, and Joshua's the first thing he says, on whose side are you? On whose side are you? Are you for us or are you against us? But then he says, I'm come as the captain of the Lord of hosts. The captain of the Lord of hosts. The captain who is over the armies of angels in heaven. Glorious, powerful, invisible, and yet invincible. That one had appeared to Joshua. And so when you read in Joshua 6 verse 2 that it says that the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into your hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. It is based on that promise. It's based on this appearance of the angel of the Lord, which is an appearance of Jesus Christ before he was born in Bethlehem. He came. He came to empower this army. He came to say, I'm on your side. And so that's the faith. And that faith endured, going seven times. And then on the seventh day, the seventh time, 777, at God's appointed time, this glorious miracle, this glorious power and victory of God is put on display, that the walls of Jericho come tumbling down when they shout and when the trumpet is blasting and the walls come down tumbling, falling flat in before them. What a glorious work of God. It was clear to them. It's only because of God. It's only because of his power. Now, we don't know need the archaeology, but it is always wonderful when it intersects with the biblical history. Those walls, they fell, as the word says, forward. And archaeology shows exactly that in Jericho. What did it do? It fell flat so that all the people who had circled Jericho could run from all sides into Jericho. And so they stormed the city. And so Jericho was conquered. And God's people had an entrance into the promised land. And this city was therefore devoted to the curse, except for a few things that were useful for the temple. Everything was killed and burned and destroyed. Everything, as the word of God would say in the New Testament, was anathema, cursed, because the wickedness of this city was full. And so what does it make us think of? Doesn't it make us think of that glorious day when Jesus Christ sees that the wickedness of this earth is filled up? And he wants to come with the new heavens and the new earth, bringing his people to the promised land. Is it not that day when we hear the New Testament speak about the blast of the trumpet, that last trumpet that will sound? What a glorious day that will be for God's people when they will be forever with the Lord. But what a day of destruction and doom for those who don't know Jesus Christ today. Christ will come and conquer his enemies and our enemies. And this world is going to be burned up just as Jericho was burned up. It will fall down. And who are saved? Those who have faith in the promises of the one and only Savior, Jesus Christ. The glorious judge over all, who's given his own blood to save his people. They who are of faith will conquer. Who may I ask you this question? On which side are you? You're so blessed when you are on the side of the people of God, when he has made you what you are not by nature, a child of God. With glorious power, when he's taken those walls of your heart down and shown you mercy? Or are you on the side of this world, which is doomed to destruction and to fire? This world which one day will cry out to the hills and to the valleys, or to the hills and to the mountains, fall upon us when they see Jesus come and his eyes are too piercing and too holy and they can't stand. The day when people will cry out, as Revelation tells us, Babylon, Babylon, the great city, it's fallen, and all the precious things. A great victory also for his people when they will enter into the promised land, that land where Christ will be all and in all. When they say in the New Testament language, thanks be to God who always gives us the victory. They entered by faith. They entered because of God's miraculous power. They entered with great joy in their heart because God did it. But that's the first application. But there's also this other application of those walls in the hearts of people. The first application is Christ will return with great glory and majesty, and woe to those who are outside of Jesus Christ. But secondly, also, and that brings us to have a look inside those walls where we see that God has worked in a mighty way, taking walls down in the heart of Rahab. She was spared by faith as well. By faith, the harlot Rahab was saved. What happened, children? Well, we looked at chapter 6 of Joshua, but we would have to go a little bit backwards to Joshua chapter 2 to see what happens there. There come two spies into Jericho before Jericho ever fell. Two spies. And they came to a place, Rahab's inn, close to the wall, so that they could easily escape, so that they would be hidden, and so that it would not be suspicious, kind of undercover. So there they were in Rahab's place. They came. And what happened there? By faith, we read in our text, verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab received the spies with peace. Who is Rahab? Children, do you know? She was a Gentile. She lived in this wicked city of Jericho. She was a prostitute. She was an Amorite. And she was a very unlikely candidate for God's work. Some people say, well, the Lord had worked already in her heart when they came. And they explain it like that, that there was flax on the rooftop of Rahab when she hid those spies, remember? That they say, well, she was working with flax, and like a virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, they claim. We don't know. We don't know. It doesn't really matter when God started to work in her life. When they came providentially to Rahab's house, and God had done great things for them. And she was a great sinner. That's clear. And God was going to give her a great deliverance. Think about it, children, when they started to talk, those spies, they started to talk with Rahab. There is this amazing declaration from her mouth, a confession she makes. She shows that when the people of Israel were coming closer to Jericho, there had been working something in her heart to take down the walls of her heart that there are naturally to the work of God. She had seen the vanity of her idols. And she had seen the glory and power of God. And that not just her, even the people in Jericho saw it. They heard about what happened 40 years ago, how God paved a way through the Red Sea gloriously, that was told her and the people. And they had heard recently, more recently, Sihon and Og, the two kings closer to them, were conquered with mighty power and destroyed. And what happened in those walls of Jericho, that the people's hearts started to melt. The courage started to sink in their shoes, as it were. But something different happened in Rahab's heart. Instead of courage sinking and maybe saying, well, you know, maybe that God of Israel is only a God of the plains and a God who can do mighty things in nature, but probably that God can't. That's the way they thought in those days. He can't get into our walls. No, that's not how Rahab thought. Rahab thought, in a wonderful way. And when she confesses this, the mighty deeds of the Lord. She says, I have seen that. And on the one hand, it made me fearful, the threatenings. Your God is more powerful than any of my idols. Because she says to them, for the Lord your God, he is the God of heaven above and the earth beneath. He's the God of all things. He's much more powerful than my idols. And having seen that, the resistance against God comes down. And she, there on the outskirts of Jericho, asks those spies, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Is there a way of deliverance? Show me kindness. Show me mercy. Isn't that how God works in our hearts? When he shows us that we are sinners and that he shows us that the wrath of God is upon us and when he shows us that our idols can't satisfy us in any way, isn't that how he opens our eyes to then also put in our hearts, when the walls come down, to put in our hearts that cry, mercy, Lord, I need mercy. Otherwise I will be destroyed with the rest of this world. Isn't that how God works? Don't you see? God brings down the walls of a heart. And instead of saying, well, you know, maybe this God is not able to do it. Maybe we are safe behind these walls. Let's store up some more grain in our, and let's just hide from this God. Just as we do by nature, Adam, remember, in the fall, ever since the fall. Let's hide. Let's hide behind these thick walls from this God. He seems to be powerful, but far safer here. No, no, no. Rahab, by faith, took refuge. Have you taken refuge to this God? To this glorious God in Jesus Christ? And so what happened? Our text says it, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Can also be translated, were disobedient. She did not perish with the disobedient all around her. Who saw the wrath of God coming, hid away. It reminds me of that text in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 7, where it says that in that last day, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed to them with the mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God and who disobey the gospel. But Rahab was different. There are lots of people who disobey the gospel. But when the walls of our heart come down, we by faith are waiting for this Savior. And we are won over by this Savior. Now, what did she have? When that day of judgment came closer, what did she have? What did her faith rest upon? What was her future? What was her destiny? What happened when all those other walls fell down and her house stood? Even that is, when Jericho was unearthed, that's what they saw. There was a part of the wall that was still standing. Now, we don't need archaeology for our faith, because God gives us faith, and that is something in our heart that we know for sure that the word is God, is truth by the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't need it necessarily, but it's wonderful when we hear that it is being confirmed as well. And there the house of Rahab stood. Was she a better person, children, young people? No, absolutely not. She was a bad sinner. She had a past that was full of sins. And yet, it says here that her house stood by faith, and all the people that were with her, all her family members, because God had worked in her heart by his Spirit. Let me ask it again. Why did this house of Rahab the harlot stand? Because she trusted the word. The word of those spies. This is going to happen. And now what you need to do, in order to be saved, you need to have that scarlet cord hang out of your house, and then you will be saved. Only there in your house is safety. Doesn't that remind us of that time when Israel came also out of Egypt, and there was this thing that they needed to do, paint the blood on the doorpost. Then God would pass over. That was for the people of Israel, for God's people. And here is a Gentile, someone who didn't fear God at first. And God shows something similar. When I see that cord, that robe, that scarlet robe, I will pass over. Pass over this Gentile. She, her house, and her family will stand. You will be saved. Isn't that the gospel right there? Isn't that the gospel that tells us that if your sins are red as scarlet, as Isaiah says it, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be white as wool. Isn't that the gospel right there in that scarlet robe? That points us, on the one hand, the necessity that blood needs to flow, and that we ought to have been killed. If we had to pay for our own sin, we should be killed. We should be destroyed with the rest of this world. But no, there is blood. There is the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood washes us white as snow. If you have crimson stains upon your heart, do you have them? When you say here this afternoon, I'm such a sinner, I'm such a wretch, if God would do what is right, I have to be condemned with this world. Then there is the gospel which says to us, to you, sinner, let us reason together. There is forgiveness with God, so that you fear him, so that you trust him. Forgiveness for crimson sinners whose souls are stained because of sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Consider for a moment what God's grace can do. Not just for Rahab, but for sinners like you this afternoon. Is your past wicked? Do you have crimson stains upon your soul? Is it more wicked than Rahab? Then there is even hope for the greatest of sinners this afternoon, who come by the power of the Spirit to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. And who by faith, as it were, throw out that scarlet cord and say, I am such a sinner, but I trust in the blood. I trust in the blood. So that we can say with Corinthians, such were some of you. All those sinners, as it says, the unrighteous shall not enter the kingdom. Fornicators, idolaters, and adulterers, and all those sinners, it says there. But the grace of God, what does it say? Such were some of you. And the grace of God comes, and what does it do? It washes us. It justifies us. What does it mean to justify us? That God says, you are clean in my sight because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't see any sin in you because I have punished your sin in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. Isn't that a glorious gospel for crimson sinners like Rahab? And God did more for Rahab. Rahab was included in the people of God. She became one of the mothers of Jesus Christ. God says, even such a sinner, let me show you what the grace of God can do. I'm not ashamed of Rahab. She becomes the mother of Jesus Christ in the lineage of Jesus Christ. What glorious gospel. Look to Jesus Christ. Look to the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross, God says it. What is impossible in your sight with your sins is possible with me. This is a faithful saying, the New Testament says, worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And Paul says, and every sinner who sees a little bit of those crimson stains in our heart, we say, I am the chief of these sinners. But there is grace with God. This is a word worthy of acceptation. Everyone should accept this. It's a faithful saying. It's trustworthy. There's grace for the greatest of sinners. Oh, these walls, they come tumbling down when we see something of the mercy of God, when we taste that God is good. It melts our hearts. And that is only through faith. Come, let us reason, God says to you and me. Scarlet sinners with a scarlet red rope. Through the scarlet red blood of Jesus Christ. And the miracle is they are washed white as snow. White as snow. And God is not ashamed to call them his children. To be called their God, Hebrews 11 says as well. By faith. In the promised land. And that's how they will enter one day New Jerusalem. The New Jerusalem. The promised land. And that city that is prepared, that has foundations, whose author and maker is God. And they will one day go through the glorious gates of righteousness. And they will be thrown open. And who is there? Well, the door of Rahab's house was open, and she, as our text says, received those spies with peace. But no, not Rahab. Yes, she will be somewhere there, but even more glorious, there is a Savior who is waiting, who will throw open those doors of righteousness, and he will welcome. He will receive you into that glorious promised land, into that glorious New Jerusalem, into that glorious city, the greater Joshua. He will receive you inside the walls of that New Jerusalem with peace, everlasting peace. How glorious! Everlasting peace. Oh, that will be such a glorious day. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will not be ashamed. Amen. Let us pray together. Oh, glorious Jehovah. Oh, glorious Lord God, victorious over the highest of walls in our hearts. And even in this world, help us to live by faith and tune our hearts to sing this new song. He will come to judge the nations, and his judgment will be right. Truth and mercy toward his people. He has ever kept in mind. Lord, we thank you and praise you for that truth and that mercy that flows together in your word and that is found in Jesus Christ, that one and only cornerstone. Oh, glorify him in our lives. Help us to trust him fully. May we know the power of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ from young to old this day. And may we go into this world not fearing in any way, but speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ, taking that trumpet, as it were, and sounding it far and wide, warning those who are on their way to destruction. Lord, help us and teach us and make us a light shining in this dark world in which so many go. And as we go from here, may we go, Lord, with the blessing of thy Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.